Farsetta in the Morning.
How's everyone doing?
It was a smorgasbord.
Welcome.
I'm on,
Jack.
Just
hold
that.
That's not true.
We have a lot of work to do.
It's different.
Tight.
Yeah.
Out.
Right.
I'm not okay with that.
Well, you're going to have to be okay with it. It's Jason Martinez. Anthony off today. Be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And
welcome to the party.
Yes, welcome to the party is exactly right, Pat Egan. So much to talk about today. It's been about 5 days since I've got a chance to talk to everybody. And a lot has happened. And, you know, a lot of athletes have a lot to say. Some of it very ill-advised. We'll get into that in DeSean Jackson. Some of it, you kind of scratch your head and go, seriously, did he just give himself an excuse, Joel Embiid? We'll talk about Bryce Harper lobbying for JT Realmuto, which we all want JT back, but is that the right way to do it? We're going to talk about the bro code, and we're going to talk about a ton. So there's a ton to get to. But here's where I want to start, and it's regarding this DeSean Jackson thing. So I was driving in this morning. I was listening to Mark and Bob and the bro and Pat Egan, and I heard a caller bring it up about, well, the Eagles didn't cut or suspend or whatever with Riley Cooper back in 2013. I live by a simple rule, and my rule is this. Never quote, even though it was misquoted, Adolf Hitler. That's a good simple rule that I don't think you need to be educated to know not to do that. To me, that's not ignorance to know not to be quoting on social media, whether you're an athlete, whether you're an accountant, whether you do whatever, a cook, you don't quote Adolf Hitler in any way, shape, or form, even if it was a misquote. And you can't just say, I didn't understand what my words meant, or that's not what I was saying. If you took it and were offended in DeSean's apology, that apology was a disgrace. Now, here's the deal. And I know a lot of people want to go tit for tat when it comes to Riley Cooper or DeSean Jackson, and there's a 7-year separation here. And I see a lot of the national media saying basically, oh, y'all in Philly didn't want anything to happen to Riley Cooper when he said the N-word at that concert. Bull crap. I was on these airways. I was working with Mike at the time. I don't think I heard anybody say that Riley Cooper should have gotten a pass. I think we were all outraged that he didn't get it suspended or cut. The fact that he didn't was a topic of conversation. Now, you'll remember, Chip Kelly was here at the time. Chip was running the organization. He had all the power in the world in 2013, and that was a Chip decision. And his owner didn't want to overrule him on it. Should he have? Probably. But he didn't. But that situation should not affect how this situation is handled. Again, a simple rule. Never quote Adolf Hitler. Okay? Can we just start there? And if you're telling me, well, they didn't do anything to Cooper, so they shouldn't do anything to Jackson. So then you're telling me the age-old thing that you heard from your parents growing up, two wrongs make a right. Does it make it right that nothing happens to DeSean because nothing happened to Riley Cooper? That seems incredibly dumb and short-sighted to me. Like really dumb. Like, because of the mistake that Chip made, and the Eagles made at the time with Riley Cooper, a guy should get a pass for quoting Adolf Hitler, the most vile man probably in the history of the world? Are you kidding me? That's like these excuses. Well, he was just ignorant. It wasn't done with malice. I don't think it was done with malice. I agree. But you got to be smart enough to know as an adult that that's a line you don't even go near. You don't quote that man and expect to get away with it. I mean, it is as cut and dry a situation as I've ever seen. But there seems to be this murky middle ground. And again, everybody wants to cite Riley Cooper. I don't give 1/10 of one you-know-what about Riley Cooper right now. They screwed it up back in 2013 royally. And for them, thank God they had Mike Vick. And thank God that he kept that team together. Not that football even mattered in that regard, but Mike Vick took on a very big leadership position in that locker room when that all went down. Because, look, there's a lot of African-American players on an NFL team? Is there a lot of Jewish players? No. But that, again, that doesn't matter. If we're saying that any kind of discrimination or ideological hate is unacceptable, then what DeSean Jackson did is unacceptable. And you can sit there and say, I didn't understand, or I'm going to go tour, the Jewish Museum now. I'm going to educate myself. You should have been educated as an adult enough to know not to quote Adolf Hitler. And that if you do, there's consequences. Now, you can go do the right things going forward. He can go to the Jewish Museum, or he can go, a Holocaust survivor wanted to take him to see, some stuff in the Holocaust and educate him. That's great. That's all good. Move forward. I'm not saying the guy's, life should be over. And as far as what the punishment is, should he be cut? Should he be suspended? What should happen? Should the league get involved? Those are decisions for those people that run these organizations. I don't get to make that decision for them. Jeff Lurie is a Jewish man. Howie Roseman is a Jewish man. And what he said cannot just be let go because, I didn't know. Because if you don't know not to quote Hitler, I can't have you on my football team. I can't have you in my bubble. I can't have you as a part of my community. I can't. I mean, come on. Are we that naive? Are we that dumb to think like, okay? I didn't know. You better know about Hitler. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. And I hear this people making excuses and want to say, they didn't do anything to Riley Cooper, so they shouldn't do anything to him. To me, that disgusts me. That's number one. Number two, and I want to get to this sound from Kendrick Perkins, who was, I think, First Take yesterday. And Joel Embiid saying he didn't feel comfortable in the bubble. What he did was he kind of set himself up with a nice little excuse. If he doesn't perform well, then all of a sudden it's, I didn't feel comfortable in the bubble. Now, maybe that wasn't his intent. And Joel, he talks a big game. He always has. I think I can dominate. I'm the best player in the league. And some of us love that element of what Embiid brings to the table from a trash talk perspective, and it's entertaining and the whole thing. But that being said, I didn't like what he said, that he didn't feel comfortable. Just keep that to yourself. Like, there's no upside in saying that. It's like he's making an excuse for failure already. So Kendrick Perkins didn't like what he heard either, and here's what he had to say about Joel Embiid.
Look, do you want to hoop or not? I don't hear none of the other contenders complaining. I don't hear Evan complaining. He's saying tech ball. I don't hear LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard complaining. I don't hear Jason Tatum and Giannis complaining. And all they talking about is how they going to try to defend their championship. I don't see them complaining. By the way, they got a tournament that's going on right now, TBT tournament in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm pretty sure those guys are not going to be in a billion-dollar bubble, or they not in a great situation. They not complaining. They down there hooping. So I don't want to hear all that. To me, this is just an excuse. They get knocked out. This is going to be an excuse because their superstar was halfway in. His mental wasn't there. Oh, I'm complaining. I don't know. I don't like the idea. Man, go down there and hoop. I ain't trying to hear that, man. That's a billion-dollar bubble. Check ball, like Patrick Beverly say. Check it up.
Check it up. Check ball, like Patrick Beverly said. I love the way Kendrick said that. And look, Kendrick's a really outspoken guy, and sometimes I don't agree with him, but I do agree with him here. It is like it's an excuse. Look, I know all athletes to varying degrees are wary about going back or being put into that bubble where they could, if you have a lot of success in the playoffs and you go on a long run, you're going to be there a while. And it's not a $1 billion bubble. It's an expensive bubble, but it's not a $1 billion bubble. But still, and look, you don't have the creature comforts of home, and an NBA player's home is usually pretty nice. And you got to eat the food that they supply there, and there's been some talk about that. But, we always want our athletes to say stuff, but when they do, a lot of times we don't like it. We criticize them for saying stupid stuff. And I'm one of those guys, I love when athletes say stuff. I'm not going to criticize Embiid for talking, but this came off like an excuse. But I can't sit here and say, he should just shut up and play. I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think it came off like an excuse, though.
You don't?
I think it could be interpreted as an excuse, and we'll see.
In hindsight?
In hindsight, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I think it could definitely be used as an excuse. I think the Sixers have done a great job of already laying the seeds of excuses already with, hey, they've only played 19 games together, and
yeah,
fill in the blank. I mean, we've heard it all.
Yeah,
at this
well,
point.
They have a template that they just
now,
pop the names into every
if
year.
If Joel Embiid comes out, if they lose in the first round, if they lose in the second round, Joel Embiid comes out, and he says, one of the reasons we lost was because we were in the bubble. And because you weren't able to play in front of the fans and all of that nonsense, then I will agree.
You see,
but I heard Joel's comments and thought, okay, this is probably what the majority of the players are thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the players are in total agreement with Joel. And they're like, geez, I got to be in this bubble. This is not ideal. And look, players have a ton of money. It's like, I don't need to be here for just a little bit more money. I get I'm doing it for the game and the chance to win an NBA title, but it's business. But for a team and a player like Embiid, who, you know, he was sick last year. I'm not going to doubt whether he was sick or not in those playoffs. But he's a guy that has written a really large check a lot of times about his play and his effect on the team and on the playoffs. And he hasn't cashed it. So this just comes off as, are you in or are you out? It's simple. That's like the follow-up question when he says that. All right, Joel, you're not comfortable. I get it. But is this an all-in situation for you? Are you going to let that affect the way you play? So, while he didn't say it's a situation that it's an excuse if they lose, it's a perceived excuse that everybody's going to go, well, he didn't feel comfortable. He wasn't all the way in. And if he doesn't feel comfortable, then he's not going to perform at peak ability. Which brings me to the next element here. And my buddy John Kincaid, who works down in Atlanta, sports talk show host down there. I've known John for a long time. He was a hockey coach of mine for a couple of years when I was in high school, my sophomore and junior year. I've known John a really long time. But we totally disagree on the situation. And it's about players deciding to come back. And I saw this Facebook post from John. He and I are friends on Facebook. And he said, I've heard it now for the fourth time in the national sports media. And as a member, I just have to share the quote, you have to respect or you have to applaud these players deciding not to play in 2020. And he got a little outraged about it. He said, you know, we have to respect that decision. Really? You know who decides not to go to work? Those who don't have to work because their bank accounts allow it. You know who doesn't decide not to go to work? Those who have to pay bills, feed kids, and meet their obligations. Well, that's obvious. I think what John doesn't understand is that, yeah, professional athletes make a lot more money. They have a lot more means. They have played 85% of their season that they got paid for. And it's not like, you know, going to that bubble or playing in whether it's baseball, which isn't in a bubble, the NBA or the NHL, isn't without some risk, because it is. And there's some guys with underlying conditions. But what he's saying is we shouldn't applaud these players or respect these players for deciding not to play. It's not something we should glorify. Now, I'm not glorifying that they're not playing. That's fine. And that's their decision. I said that's a personal decision. And I'm good with that. If you don't want to play, and I brought up Malcolm Jenkins because he was outspoken on this. If you don't want to play, then don't play. I am not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to say you're not a gamer. You don't do it for the love of the sport. It's just a business. You're being a whatever. None of that. But look, I think you have to respect the fact that a player has decided not to play. I respect it. I'm not applauding it, but you got to respect it.
I don't know, John, you do. That post sounded really bitter to me.
It does. I'm going to bring it up to him. You're right. It does sound bitter.
It comes off as, I have to go to work and you don't, and you have the luxury of doing it, so I'm going to complain. And look, me and you had a whole show on Saturday morning when the Blake Snell stuff came out. Mm. And I brought up, where do you draw the line? Like, if you didn't have to go to work, then is it okay for this person to not have to go to work? Comparing you, the Joe working class guy, to a professional athlete is ridiculous.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, he has more talent than you. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
Look,
and with
he got the gene lottery.
Exactly.
Right? He can throw 100.
With talent comes
compensation.
Things that we don't have.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot. You're absolutely right, Pat. And the thing is, and I'm going to bring that up to John. Like, look. These players, look, every player is going to make a different decision, because some players have been in their professional sports league for 12 years and have money that they can't spend in a lifetime, and their kids are set. Other players, and a lot of players in sports, don't have that kind of money, and they have a very small window of a couple of years to capitalize. That goes into their decision. I respect their decision if they're going back because, hey, their pro career might only be 2.5, 3 years. I respect like going, hey, I got to go play now because in a couple of years, I'm going to be out of the game and trying to get a job with my degree or whatever. I'm trying to set myself up as best I can and capitalize on what I've dedicated my life to. But you look at it, and I don't think that these players should be applauded for coming back or for not coming back. They're personal decisions, and I'm not going to hold any of them against them. John also went on to say, it goes both ways here. He said there's like factions of people about the return to sports. You know, first category is the people that think they know more than medical professionals who approved these plans to go back. Number two, they see some benefit in there not being a quick recovery from the pandemic or shutdown. I don't know what that is, and I don't understand why people live in that mindset, like kind of just saying, you know, we're going to be in this forever. It's the doom and gloomers, and three is actually the absolute doom and gloomers, he says. They just want to be right about it, the doom and gloom they've been predicting all along. My guess is those people want sports not to come back and fail. So we're going to talk to John.
I feel personally attacked by that.
Yeah, you're one of those guys.
I want sports to come back so bad.
You want it to come back, but you don't think it should.
Yeah, and I think guys like Joel Embiid speaking out, we just played the Kendrick Perkins cut. Shake Milton said the same thing. A couple other athletes in other sports said the same
thing. The entire Nets team basically bowed out.
Yeah, I mean, they're losing seven players. They're having to sign, you know, 40-year-old guys. So I don't think I'm the only one that's saying sports really shouldn't become a background. I don't think we're ready.
I think they're bringing too many teams in the NBA back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But the Nets know they can't win.
We had a call from Graf, one of our loyal listeners, and he made such a great point that I hadn't thought of. And I know you'll love this. He said, you know, I think the only league that's actually going to be able to come back and have a season, because there's coming back and then there's being able to come back and finish.
And culminating, yeah.
Is the NHL, because they avoided America. Their two hub cities are Toronto and Edmonton.
Yeah.
And where the other hub cities are, I mean, the logic of putting any hub city in Florida.
Well, that was the NBA's issue. They made that decision too soon. They made it before they had to. They committed when they didn't have the most up-to-date data of when they're going to report there. And now you see what happened. They got bit by it. You know, that being said, the bubble is supposed to be one of the safest environments in the world. So, but it is in Florida. And there are outsiders that are going to have an effect on that bubble. So that will have an effect on this whole situation with the NBA. And we'll see. Do you have like a percentage that you think the NBA will complete this thing? Do you think it's like 30% 30, chance?
35.
That they will hand out the Larry O'Brien trophy? You think it'll get shut down? 65% chance?
35 to 30, I'd say 35%.
So you're okay then with Embiid saying that, you know, he's not comfortable and all that stuff.
Yeah, I had no problem.
Don't look at it as an excuse.
I want to be comfortable. Like, okay, so give an example.
I think that's just obvious, though. You're not home.
Yeah, well, it's also that and the fact that they're living in the same place where you've already had outbreaks. This quote-unquote, this bubble has already affected the MLS, which is in the same bubble. They had their entire, I believe it was the Dallas team for Major League Soccer, their entire team got decimated by the coronavirus. They had to pull out of the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, if you're looking at it like, is this an actual bubble? No, it's not. We had Brian Windhorst on probably 2 or 3 weeks ago who said the same thing. This isn't a bubble. People are allowed to leave and come back.
Yeah, it's not hermetically sealed. So there are people that will come in and out, although the players aren't allowed to, and staff and everything else. You would feel more comfortable. Then what's your percentage chance that Major League Baseball finishes it?
Oh, and has God. Playoffs? 10.
Yeah, that's a tough one. They're traveling. Yeah.
They're traveling, and they have a ton of people in the locker room, in the clubhouse.
Yep. It's a big staff.
The morning show talked about spitting and whatnot. How do you just stop doing that? How do you punish that? It's, I mean, look, I don't know how you feel, but me and you both still play hockey at a horrible level.
Yeah.
We're really bad. But they started resuming seasons and whatnot, probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, men's leagues and baseball and soccer.
I mean, I don't know about
hockey.
You, but when I go in the locker room, I have my mask on pretty much the entire time until I put my helmet on. And I was sitting on the bench on Monday, and I told a guy, I don't know what you have. Back up.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's me at a rink for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Imagine being in an actual bubble away from your family in a hub city for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Look, and that also goes into players' decisions. Like, some players have wives. They plan pregnancies as professional athletes for their offseason. So a lot of these players in the NBA and the NHL have their wives are pregnant toward the end of their pregnancy, and they're getting ready to have a kid. Because they plan it that way. You try and do the best you can to be able to have the kid when you're in an off season. And that goes into the decision making as well. And, or if you have a young kid or just married or whatever, you know, being away from your family is a tough situation. Not everybody goes, oh, I'm going to be in the bubble. I'm going to party like it's 1999. But that being said, I respect the fact that players can decide not to play, but I'm going to get into it with John. We'll talk to John coming up at 10:30. And again, like I want to like put this thing to bed with Deshaun. Like, this is really simple. It's so simple. You can't quote Hitler and not have some sort of punishment. And you can't claim, well, if you were offended. That's the biggest half-ass apology ever. You can't do that.
Did you see the latest thing with Deshaun, by the way?
No.
I'll show you during the break.
All right. And we'll talk about that and much more with John Kincaid coming up at 10:30. And the Deshaun thing is really simple. What should be the punishment? Let's all just agree that he should be punished. And let's all just agree that because Riley Cooper wasn't punished and Chip Kelly was running things back at that time, doesn't mean that Deshaun shouldn't. One has nothing to do with the other. Nothing. And our world is far different now than it was 7 years ago. And Riley Cooper should have been cut. But he wasn't. But why should that affect Deshaun now? If we're trying to be better and we're trying to move forward, explain that to me. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Anthony off today. It's Jason Martinez. It is the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's go to Atlanta. We'll get to Breon and Joe on the phones in a minute, but I got to talk to an old friend. John Kincaid joins us now. Johnny, how you doing?
I am your coach still today.
So I got to call you coach.
Don't even try to pull this crap of friend stuff. I mean, remember, it's friend second, coach first. I mean, come on now,
dude.
I am staring out right now out of our boardroom here at 680 The Fan Atlanta, and we are right at Truist Park. And I found a perch yesterday where I was able to get a little better view from our parking deck of what's going on with the simulated games and stuff like that. I am looking out at a ballpark, and sports is right around the corner, hopefully, if everything goes well. This is great.
Yeah, John, it's just 15 days to baseball, a couple of weeks, right? It's been 119 Absolutely. Days since we've had sports. It's 22 days to the NHL and the NBA in August and training camp. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be a different time content-wise because it has been a four-month struggle. And I find the struggle being fighting the people who are – and I don't want to use the term – I've seen some people use the term people rooting for the virus. I don't think anyone is rooting for the virus. But I think there's a lot of people in our industry who are rooting to be right. They've been predicting Armageddon. They've been thinking Armageddon. They've been believing Armageddon, and then they keep doubling down on it because they just don't want it to happen. Like Buster Olney, and I love Buster, and him and I got into it already over this. 5% chance the baseball season starts, 0% chance it ends. And I'm like, Buster, how the hell do you say that?
Yeah, you just don't know.
What are you basing that on? Oh, well, everybody's allowed to have an opinion. I said, that's fine. I said, but that opinion's based on nothing.
That
opinion is based on absolutely nothing. And I think fear sells. It does.
Clearly.
I mean, we can see on the
clearly
media, whether you're depending on what side of the divide you're on, they're all still selling, ginning it up all the time. You have to constantly listen. I can tell you this. Remember Clemson had 32 players test positive?
Yep.
Remember that story? Oh, yeah, and everything. I said, how come the follow-up story is not being written? Like, how many of those players ended up in the hospital? How many of those players are not healthy again? How many players were asymptomatic?
Well, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, John. That's the age-old thing.
And that's where we're at. Yep. And that's what we're dealing with. And I said, that's why I so want to get back to games. I know the union's playing, right?
Yeah, they're playing right now, yes.
Right now.
Scoreless.
People are excited about that.
In the 60th minute.
Atlanta loves Atlanta United is huge here, so people are really into Atlanta United. So if people are excited about that, being able to see some soccer again and everything. But it's all about the Braves. It's all about the Falcons. It's more importantly, it's all about college football, too,
well,
and getting back. So,
yeah, I mean, and you saw what the Ivy League did. But I want to get to I brought up your Facebook post because that's why I wanted to get you on. You and I are on slightly different sides of this, although I agree with some of what you said. But the one thing that really caught my eye, John, was the fact that you said you have to respect or even applaud these players for deciding not to play in 2020. I'm not saying you have to applaud them. But I do have to respect their decision not to play, because if they don't want to play for whatever reason, if they got FU money, good on them, right? If they don't want to play because, like in the NBA or NHL, they've already gotten 85% of their pay this year and they don't want to weigh that risk, I'm fine with it. I'm not applauding them. You don't want to play? Don't play. But I want the leagues have to move forward. You know, but you're pretty turned off by this.
I get you on that. Yeah, well, no, I'm not turned off on the point that I agree with you 100%, and I did say it in my missive there, that I absolutely understand everybody has the right to do whatever they want to do. But I saw on literal Chiron, you know, on the TV screens, brave Major League Baseball players applaud, and literally guys who were analyzing the game saying, you have to applaud the decision that David Price made. I'm like, that is crap. I don't have to applaud it. I don't even have to respect the decision he made. I have to defend his right to make it. He absolutely has the right to make it. But guess what? While David Price and everybody else in Major League Baseball or the NFL or whatever has been sheltering in place in their mansions, the rest of the tens of millions of Americans have gone to work this entire time. So when they want steak, when they want chicken, when they want food delivered, when they want their godforsaken toilet paper, they don't realize that somebody is in the plant making the toilet paper, someone is in the plant packing the toilet paper, then they stack the truck, then the truck gets delivered to your store, then you go to your Wegmans.
All with risk.
Pick it up, and there's somebody who checks out. So, and all those people went to work every damn day.
Yeah, look, I think that
they came back, but they came back to their, but Mert, they came back to their children and their families every single day.
Yep, and without the same protocols of safety.
And I keep hearing about, they don't want to bring something home to their families. For God's sake, I worked the entire pandemic. Local show, network show, podcast, worked every day, came to the studios every single day. My wife and daughter were at home most of the time. We were smart. We took precautions. We did what we were asked to do. If you were asked to wear a mask, we tried to do that. We tried to make sure we were being cleanly and doing all the things you have to do. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous when they start invoking their kids. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, look, that's a right to invoke the kids. But what I was hoping that would come out of this pandemic the most would be a little thing we call perspective, right? And
sure,
and that should be, that hasn't happened, because like you said, they're applauding guys like Price or whoever decides to opt out. I'm not applauding anybody. It's their look. If you don't want to play, then don't play. I got to just put you aside because you're not going to play right now, and that's fine. And look, that could affect certain teams or certain leagues. We watch these games to watch the best players, right? We're not watching.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's part of it. And what they earn goes into that decision making for sure. Like a lot of these players, you know, they'll have a career of 2 or 3 years. They got to capitalize now, and that goes into their decision. And I know that if I was in this decision, whether I was a $10 million player or a minimum salary $700,000 player, I would play. That's me, and that's where I am with this virus. I'm not going to applaud them for it, but I do have to respect it, is what I'm saying. And you're absolutely right about the doom and gloomers.
I respect the right that they have to make the decision. But here's what I say. What if a third of our nurses in America decided it's not worth risking my life to go to work?
Yeah, some did.
A third of our police, a third of our doctors, a third of our things. We would have been up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
And instead, people continued. If our stores weren't, when people couldn't get toilet paper, I saw grown men and women freaking out on social media. And I'm like, okay, I got to remember that around 10.8% of Americans are on Twitter. I always have to remind myself of that because it does seem like it's a echo chamber of nonsense.
Yeah.
But the idea, Mert, that we these guys, they're very brave to make a decision. Yeah, David Price, very brave to make a decision. Yeah, because he's got FU money, as you say. He's got over $200 million. Like he's never going to worry about anything again. The people who have to worry about that stuff have had to go to work and have had to get back to work. And that's been part of the problem.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't get the notion either. I can't stand the doom and gloomers of Yeah, they're just going to start shut down. It's like, dude, stop raining on everything. Can we have a little 2020 has sucked. I'd like to put it in one of those, you know, those big barrels like in South Philly and light it on fire, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I don't understand is this, is Mert, you and I open up a steakhouse down there in Old City, and we open up Mert and Kincaid's Steakhouse. And we talk about, hey, the new steakhouse is opening up on your show and my show, and we're talking about it. And then I say, on my show today, I'm going to lead with eating steak. Yeah, raises your risk of heart disease.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have a stroke. You may get cancer from it for the red meat. Why would you do it? We are in the business, the people in the sports media are in the business of, hopefully, you don't have a medical degree. We don't know. And again, I don't know if we're going to play a full NFL season.
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to play college football or NBA or whatever.
I hope they do.
I do know this. I am sure as hell not going to go on the radio every day and tell my audience, yeah, nothing but gloom and doom here. I mean, I read this report on Facebook and I'm done. I think it's done. I don't think there's any chance. To me, that why would you do that? I would turn people off. I would turn off their shows. Turn off their, because they're, I have no idea what
it's miserableness. It's just miserable, you know, and I choose not to live in that space. You and I agree. Let me ask you on Deshaun here real quick. Because what happened with Deshaun, and I had a caller on earlier in the show, you know, and everybody wants to cite Riley Cooper 7 years ago and the lack of discipline that he got. To me, this, I live by a simple rule, John. I mentioned it right off the hop. Never quote Hitler. It's real simple. I don't care how educated you are, ignorant, anything. Never quote Hitler. And if you don't know that, then you can't be a part of my community.
I'll take it further. And it's, you know, I do not believe you are right now while we're trying to build unity and community and trying to have conversations where we're listening to each other. And Shaq and I talked about it yesterday when we taped this week's podcast, don't be quoting Farrakhan to me either.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't
it's an
quote
anti-Semite.
Farrakhan, don't quote Hitler. Like, it's I cannot take, and what I'm looking for is, and L. Duncan at SportsCenter, a longtime friend, and she was a radio host here in Atlanta on music radio long before she did what she does now on SportsCenter. L. yesterday, brave enough on the ESPN platform to say, if you're going to speak out against racism and you've got nothing to say about Deshaun Jackson and you've got nothing to say about Steven Jackson's comments, then you're defeating your own purpose because you're saying racism only matters selectively.
Yeah.
And look, I think we've had a lot of, I honestly, I'm sure you guys have up at home. I'm sure you guys have had a lot of great conversations. I feel like we've had some positive conversations and I know I've learned some stuff.
Yep. Absolutely.
I know I've learned stuff during this.
Yep.
But the idea that somebody would then be silent, I'm waiting for Greg Popovich. And then Coach Woke, Steve Kerr. I mean, I'm figuring they would have something to say about anti-Semitism, but they're silent, much like they were on Hong Kong. They pick and they choose to where they want to lecture and where they want to have strong opinions, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, and if you want my respect, then you have to speak on all of it. And I don't like the fact that
Absolutely.
This just came out that Deshaun liked an Instagram post from a doctor, and at the end of it he says, I pray for the day black men stop having to apologize for what we say when others don't even have to apologize for what they've done. This is after multiple apologies. He doesn't get it, does he?
No, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And Shaq had a strong message for it, that too, as far as the idea that, and we've talked about it, is that the one thing Martin Luther King never did was tell you to shut up, shut the hell up and listen. That was never part of his message. He wanted to have dialogue. He wanted to have, it wasn't, now you sit down, shut up and listen to me speak. He wanted to engage. He wanted to have those kind of difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And we need those difficult conversations more than ever, but they have to be conversations. They can't just be selective.
Yeah, it can't
and
be one-sided. You're so right. Hey, John, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you know, we see the thing about players a little bit different, but in essence, it kind of very similar. Yeah.
We always saw the world a little bit differently. We butted heads a few times when you were a youth. You were hot-headed. You were talented.
No.
You were bright.
Those three words have never been used for me. Maybe hot-headed.
Oh, you were so lucky there wasn't social media back then. Oh, man.
You're right about that.
What a joke.
John, where can we get the Shaqcast? iTunes?
Oh, the Shaqcast. You can get it Podcast One. You can get it at iTunes Podcast. You can get it anywhere. Just put in Shaq Podcast. It's stupid. It is not a sports. It is a sports podcast, but it really isn't.
It's a life podcast.
70% of what we talk about. it's a very light. We do comedy. We do a lot of comedy, but we do have a lot of A-listers come on by and hang out with us, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's good stuff. Well, it's good stuff, and I'm glad it's working out. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. John Kincaid.
Say hello to everybody back home.
Will do. John Kincaid, thanks for joining us out of Atlanta. I've known John for a long time, as you heard.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Brandt joins us right now. Andrew, how are you?
Doing well. Good to see you, Jason.
It's great to have you on. I just brought up this Tom Pelissero report because he tweeted out that NFL teams are going to be forbidden and post-game interactions within 6 feet of each other. No more jersey exchanges between players during the 2020 season. Another way that the NFL will look different in the COVID-19 world. And it struck me as kind of strange, Andrew, because they just had played 60 minutes of tackle football against each other.
Yeah, I've been trying to be as confident as possible about the NFL. I'm having some worries lately. You know, the obvious thing that we haven't even addressed is how do you practice and play football in this environment with viral load, with highly transmissible disease? And you're right. I mean, the practicing and playing football is the opposite of social distancing. You can have all the protocols in the world. But this is a sport that's inherently violent, and every play ends is there's usually some physical force that's close range between two people, which is droplet exchange. So, I'm trying not to be crude. That's the reality of the game.
Yeah, that mitigating the post-game handshake and jersey swap doesn't really mitigate anything.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is thread a needle here. We've got a business worth $15 billion, and the last thing anyone wants to do is shut it down. But we've got a lot of hoops to jump through. There's negotiations now between the union on two fronts. One is the health and safety front, which is challenging for the reasons we just talked about. And that's the easy one. The hard one is the financial, which we've heard about 35% giveback being proposed by the league to the players. That's going to be troubling. Players are going to resist. Maybe it's an opening offer. I knew this was coming. It happened in baseball. It's going to happen in football. These are going to be tough negotiations. All the while wondering if we can do this physically with the pandemic, with all these hoops you got to jump through. It's going to be a task.
Yeah, there's so many elements of the way these leagues are conducting themselves from top to bottom that... And then the whole viability of it working in a league where they can't go to a hub city or a bubble location. The NFL is just not capable of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to bubble. So without bubbling, you're right. What are we going to have without bubbling? We're going to have interactions daily with family, with friends. Family's going to be interacting with older relatives, perhaps those with immunocompromised. And I've been at the league level meetings, and to me, as a lawyer, what these discussions have to revolve around is, what is the acceptable risk here? I mean, what is acceptable before we shut this thing down? Now, we know that young and healthy people mostly have good outcomes, but it's not about just young and healthy people if you're not bubbling.
Yeah, and you have coaches and executives as well that aren't in that.
Well, it's not only coaches. Have anyone watched an NFL sideline? About half of them are players. The rest of the sideline is all these different people.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about. Here's the thing about sports right now is we got four leagues starting. Is anyone listening really confident that these four leagues finish? And at one point, you know, if, say, one of these leagues in August 15th says we just can't do this anymore. We got too many infections. We got a problem. We're shutting down.
Is that March 11th all over again?
Yeah. And then the question is, does the NFL start in that environment? Is the NFL really going to start playing when, say, baseball is shutting down? That's where I worry.
Yeah, the legal implications of that as well. Every other sport shuts down and you're going to try and forge forward. And then if something happens, you're in a really, really difficult spot. Andrew, yeah. let me move into DeSean Jackson, because we all saw the Instagram post and you know, quoting Hitler, which is obviously one of those things that you never do. And then the apologies that followed, and then also now liking this Instagram post for somebody, a Dr. Umar Johnson. And in the end of his quote, he says, "I pray for the day when black men stop having to apologize for what we say." And the apologies seemed veiled at best. How did the Eagles handle this situation with DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, a lot of layers to unpack here. And just, I know my experience, 10 years getting these calls in the offseason, usually it's about guys partying too much right before training camp and those unrecognizable numbers that come to you and you kind of cringe. I've told you those stories before.
Yeah.
This one's different, obviously, because social media is the world. Everyone can see it. It's not just finding about something you can keep quiet. So I'm sure Howie and Jeff got the call the other night, and it's obviously abhorrent. You've got to weigh the issue of canceling, you know, this cancel culture, terminate. This is too vile, too abhorrent to live with. Let's get rid of them. Versus weighing the facts, weighing the precedent, weighing what could happen to your team, all the different manifestations, including, let's be real, the football side. Hey, we drafted a receiver number one. We should be okay. Or the business side, hey, he's got guaranteed money, but is it offset? You think somebody will sign him? These are all things you got to talk about. What about our community relations? What about our sponsors? I was consulting the Eagles when they signed Michael Vick. Had a lot of discussions with outside entities about that. This is not easy. And the thing that complicates it, which everyone has commented on now, is Riley Cooper, where the enforcement and discipline was very lax. And DeSean Jackson was on that team, and DeSean Jackson may have felt that. So here we are. And what do you do? What do you do? I mean, I think there are a lot of discussions about termination versus nothing or something in between.
Did he violate any ethical clause in a contract, a boilerplate NFL contract?
Well, there is boilerplate about morals and ethics and bringing disrepute and ill will to the team, which you can certainly argue that he's done. And if they do terminate him, I would think there will be lawyers about not paying him that guarantee, yes. But I think time is DeSean Jackson's friend here, and I think the fact they haven't terminated him bodes well.
Andrew, let me ask you about the Ivy League canceling sports this fall. What is that going to mean for Clemson and Florida State?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, how's this going to affect all these other programs that have not made any sort of announcement? They seem to be forging ahead here with athletes that aren't paid.
Well, we're already hearing from people around the Power Five conferences that, hey, they're different. They don't rely on those revenues. They are different. They don't have guys go to the pros, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that's kind of a cop-out. What are we really saying then? We're saying that it's all about business, not about health.
Yeah.
Because as I just tweeted out, you know, it's the same human being.
Yep.
That the people that play for Clemson and that play for Princeton are from the same species. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we know that Clemson and Florida State and Alabama and LSU are going to go through hell and high water to play. And, unless there's some major thing that keeps them away from doing it, like shutdowns with all these COVID tests, they're going to forge ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing. Last question for Andrew Brandt joining us here. Andrew, let me ask you about the Pat Mahomes contract, because I know that certainly got your attention. You see a deal of that magnitude. Great player, obviously, and you know, a commitment of that long to anybody in the NFL is really interesting to me. What did you think of the deal and how it will play out ultimately, pending health, obviously?
Well, I've been very counterintuitive about the deal, and I know people have pushed back and always say, hey, it's $500 million. How can you criticize it? I get it. And that was the mark. You know, they were going to hit this huge number. Everyone's talking about the number. No one really looks into the deal except nerds like me. But having been in management, I mean, listen, they've got the best player in the league under contract for his life. When I heard that deal, I'm like, where's the optionality? You know, where's his ability to get out, opt out like an NBA deal? Where's his ability to match other contracts passing him by, which will happen? None of that. Where's his ability to match the cap every year? None of that. Now, they just threw a ton of money at him. They didn't do any groundbreaking precedent. And he'll never hit free agency. And believe me, the market will pass him by.
Yep.
And to me, when you have a player upset like that in 5 years, that's bad. So I think the Chiefs are thrilled right now. I just wonder if they're going to be thrilled when he's not happy in 5-6 years.
Yeah, when you have an inferior player in the league making more money than you, and he'll get passed by in 3 to 5 years without question. Hey, Andrew, we always love having you on. I appreciate you coming on, the executive director of Morehead Center at Villanova. I read your stuff on everywhere, MMQB, The Athletic. You do a great job, and I appreciate you taking some time for us today.
My pleasure, Jason. Talk soon.
There he is, Andrew Brandt joining us. Always appreciate him coming on. A level of educated opinion that certainly surpasses myself and Pat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.